between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. Are you ready to crawl out of your skin? Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, and laughter is ringing through my ears today. My new real adult job is going so well. I really feel like I'm beginning to make a positive difference. I have been struggling financially since the job move, and finally I am seeing solutions there as well. I know that it won't last forever, and that all it takes is one large financial hit to be unable to get back up, but I'm going to take wins when I can because sometimes that's all I have. You guys, I had a crazy experience yesterday, which is why I missed my deadline. I'm so embarrassed about that, by the way. Oh my gosh. Anyway, this one is 100% my fault. It has been a crazy season already, and I'm desperately trying to get my shit together. I promise it won't happen again. Anyway, unless extreme circumstances. So, on the topic of making ends meet, I donated plasma yesterday because it is good money and great for our medical community. They call it liquid gold, and it really, like, helps infants and all sorts of crazy things. It's awesome. Not to mention, being stuck with needles on a regular basis is pretty horrific. Right up my alley. Anyway, not even 30 minutes in, I almost passed out. Barely got my hand up when everything started to go dark, but they were on it. Before I knew it, I was surrounded by people making sure I was all right. They warned me that it would take longer than the usual hour to donate for my first time. So they said it should take like a little over 2 hours. So I planned on that with my eating schedule. I didn't know that it would be 3 hours before I even started my hour session of actually removing the plasma. Having a difficult time getting my blood to pour steadily to begin with, I was worried because nothing was filling my container. Then, as soon as it seemed to start working, like barely anything in my container, lights out. I will go back, and this time I should hopefully blow through the paperwork stuff. Wish me luck. But I don't want to be that lame person that I can't give for no reason. But I'm also still feeling pretty, drained. Sorry for the pun. I'm never sorry for puns. Who am I kidding? However, you came to hear imaginary tales, not my horrible real life horrors. Now that I think of it, we haven't had many mad doctor stories on this podcast. I should change that because some of that shit is really fucked up. Well, I guess unless you include some of the story from the Craving series, that had some medical aspects to it. Which is funny because the same person who wrote that wrote the story I'm reading today as well. Today, we have the much anticipated second part of the Birthday Monster story written by the talented author you can find on Reddit under the username Sugarfruit33. Which brings us to the point, because you guys know I can't get enough of terror tales, and that's why I'm always asking, what's your story? So seriously, what's your story? From campy to, why did the lights just go out, scary? I want to hear them all because your fucked up brains came up with them. Once they are torn from your overactive imagination, the words oozing from your page, email it to me at dimlightanxiety@gmail.com and listen as your words creak to life. It's alive! Speaking of coming to life, what imagination was damaged to have the creature from today's story take up space in our memories? You've been following along, right? What? Well, if not, that's okay. Here's a little reminder of what happened last week. He smiled weakly as he handed me the journal. Taking it from him, I grazed its cover with my thumb. I looked up at him, smiling warmly. I stood up and threw my arms around him, his warmth radiating against my skin. With his arms wrapped around me, suddenly his grip tightened. But not in an embracing way, but in a way that would paralyze me. If he had gone any tighter. Some people love to celebrate birthdays, and some love just small get-togethers. Either way, is it really a birthday if you aren't hiding from someone or something? You can only hide, though, for so long. Submitted for the approval of the guild with dim light anxiety, I called this story The Tale of the Birthday Hut, Part 2. Perfect! His grip instantly loosened. Pulling away, I forced a smile up at him. I should go. Already? He frowned. Yeah, I'm sorry. My mom almost caught me last time. Don't want her to worry. I laughed awkwardly as I scratched the back of my head. All right. I hope you had a good birthday. He stared down at me, the smile on his face and the solemn in his eyes clashing. I did, I smiled weakly. With one last hug, he then watched as I walked out the door. As I gently closed it behind me, my expression twisted as a nausea brewed in my stomach. I never felt like I had to cautiously look behind me after saying goodbye to him. Yet, I found myself running back to my door as fast as possible. That was on my 14th birthday. And on the days leading to my 15th birthday, I decided I was just too old for him. I remember kneeling by my window once again, peeking out. But I felt different this time. I wasn't waiting in anticipation. I was waiting with dread. A dread that hung over me like the darkest cloud. I know he'd be there waiting for my answer, even after a year. I never stopped thinking about his offer. But I couldn't just accept it. To live with him forever? How could I just leave my parents like that, my friends, my life? It was too much pressure, and I felt like it was time to distance myself. Then there it was again, with its warm glow from the window pouring into the grass. But this time, I didn't run downstairs. This time, I hid. I dropped away from my window as fast as possible, hoping he hadn't seen me. I never felt threatened by him until that night, his crushing grip on my back. For the first time, I imagined him possibly coming into my house instead, where he'd find an English journal sitting in a dusty drawer. In the 15 years of my life at that moment, I had never skipped out on going to the birthday hut. But I decided that it would now be never again. With a racing heart, I attempted to sleep, my booming thoughts keeping me awake. Eventually, I drifted off to sleep. Upon waking up the next morning, the first thing I checked for was to see if he was gone. like every morning after. The hut magically vanished. Sighing with relief, I slumped in my bed. Nicholas, my mom said as she opened the door. I lifted my head up as she walked in. I told you to stop ordering things with my card. I didn't. I furrowed my brows in confusion. I'm not mad. Just don't lie to me. And don't do it again. She tossed a box onto my bed before shutting the door. I stared at it as it laid at my feet. It was wrapped in a brown paper, a string of yarn tying it together. Lifting it cautiously, I shook it next to my ear, hearing an object clanking against the inside of the box. I carefully untied the yarn, then tore through the paper. Under the wrapping was a plain box with a top. Upon lifting it, I first noticed a note. In chicken scratch handwriting, it read, I'm sorry I missed you this year. I hope you are feeling well. Here's something to have on the birthdays that I'll miss. Under the note was a little knitted toy. As I lifted it, my stomach sank as I realized it was a miniature version of him. I tilted my head as I turned it around in my grip, observing its details. It would have been cute if it hadn't felt so bizarrely menacing. I tried to shrug it off. I left it next to the untouched journal, leaving it to the dust bunnies. Next year, on my 16th birthday, I skipped out on him again. This time, I wasn't even there to peek out my window, as I had slept over at a friend's house. After getting dropped off the next day, I was met with a package at my front door. It was identical to the one I had received last year. After greeting my mom, I snuck it upstairs and quietly opened it. Inside was a note that read, Missed you again. Well, I hope three times a charm, so I can see you next year. But if you can't, here's something that can hopefully keep us in touch. The box laid a small walkie-talkie. Its yellow paint was lightly coated with dirt, as if it had been dug up. Something about it disturbed me even more than the last gift. I thought of it being a direct connection to him, even on a regular day. And the possibility of having him suddenly speak through it sent a shiver down my spine. Receiving that gift was one of the first times I ever really thought about where he would go after my birthday. I never thought to ask. But I didn't want the answer. I didn't want the radio either. So along with everything else, I dumped it into my drawer. On the night of my 17th birthday, I came home late from dinner. As I undressed in my bedroom, the sound of a muffled voice sent a shock through my body. I slowly turned to my drawer where I heard him speaking through static. I couldn't fully understand it from outside the drawer, but I was too unnerved to retrieve it. After unfreezing myself, I opened the drawer. Are you there? Nick, are you coming? Are you coming? My gaze shifted towards the window, my body slightly trembling as I imagined him sitting there with the walkie-talkie in his hand, begging for me to come. It felt obsessive and continued to crawl under my skin. Are you coming? Are you there? Can you answer? Are you coming? The questions rang in my ear. They felt piercing. I quickly grabbed the radio, pried off the back, and ripped out the batteries. His voice instantly evaporated to silence, the only noise being my pounding heart and my ears. After slipping my shaking body under the covers, I thought about burning all of the gifts. I don't know why I had kept them to begin with. I think a part of me was worried he'd somehow find it. I've never seen him outside of the hut, but sending gifts showed me he was capable of much more than I thought. The next morning, I received another gift. At this point, I just wanted to toss it in the trash. But I felt compelled to keep opening them, as if he was watching me at all the times. If he got a walkie-talkie, who's to say he didn't get cameras? My hands trembled as I tore open the paper, swallowing the knot in my throat. As always, a note sat on top. Guess three times wasn't the charm. It's been so long. I miss you. I want to hear all about your life, and I want you to stay with me. Hopefully, this piece of me makes you reconsider next year. As I lifted up the note, my eyes widened. I immediately dropped the box, watching the bloody teeth clank against each other. I stared down at them in horror as my body froze. They were sharp and jagged, appearing to have been vigorously torn out, with strands of flesh still attached. I clenched my teeth as the urge to puke grew. Unable to look at them any longer, I quickly crammed the top back on and tossed it into my garbage can, along with the other gifts I had received from him. Over the course of 3 years, it was just getting worse and worse. How many birthdays until it finally ended? I was hoping to have the answer on my 18th birthday when I was accepted into the University of Minnesota. I was a month away from leaving, celebrating both my departure and my entrance into adulthood, when I received another gift on my doorstep. This time, the box was bigger. It was long and thin, almost the size of my torso. I decided I couldn't do this again, and that it needed to end. For once, I hadn't even remembered he was in my backyard, so I lifted the box and threw it out, the curiosity still itching the back of my head. After a few hours of thumb twiddling, I needed to know. I retrieved the box from my garbage and brought it to my room. Setting it down on my bed, I took a deep breath before tearing the paper off. The second I lifted the lid, my nostrils were hit with a smell that I could not describe. It was putridly sour and thick, causing me to hold a gag in my cheeks. A note laid on top of a newspaper that was used to wrap something.
My Nicky is a grown man. It brings tears to my eyes to see you grow up. We could have prevented that. But alas, you are starting your life with or without me. P.S. It gets cold up in Minnesota.
Setting down the note, I cautiously began to rip apart the paper. Beneath it revealed fur, one that seemed eerily familiar. As I lifted it, I squirmed at the feeling of something wet against my fingertips. Pulling my fingers away, my eyes widened at the sight of blood on my hand. Turning back to the gift, I stepped back and let it unfold. Draping in front of me was his skin, blood dripping from its feet onto my floorboards. My expression was locked in a gaping terror, unable to release it from my grip. A hole for my face was carved where his once was. The inside, crimson and fleshy. With puke rushing up my throat, I dropped it and collapsed to my knees. I grabbed my garbage can and unloaded into it, the smell still lurking in my nasal passages. I regretted opening it so badly, I should have just left it in the trash. A month later, I was finally leaving for college, and I'd never be looking through that bedroom window again. Once upon a time, that would have been a sad thought. But now, it was a relieving one. I finally felt safe. On my drive out of there, I thought about if he'd still be in my backyard, waiting for the birthday that I'd spend at home. Or if he'd be in another child's backyard, hoping to spend eternity with them instead. All I knew was I'd never see him again. Forever is an awful long time, and it usually doesn't last as long as we hope. So I have a feeling he might be seeing them again. And a suit made out of skin as a present? Oh, hell no. I would have a throat full of puke as well. I kind of have it a little now, come to think of it. So, great story, though. To cause that kind of reaction definitely painted a grotesque picture that I am here for. maybe with some duress, but here. Makes me wonder what could possibly be left of the story. Well, you heard it too. What do you think? Was it scary enough? Or better question, can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? Now for the details. If you want to be a more active part of the guild, visit the website. There is so much there, and if there's not, there's a link to take you to what you want. And if there's not a link, message me and let me know, because I know there is a link for that at least. This week's writing prompt is brought to you by one of my epic failures this week. He strapped her to a chair, inserted the IV into her arm, then just left. She was left alone as the fluids drained from her body. Okay, so I have to say that obviously was not my experience, but based on a fear of what if that I often have, as a lot of my prompts are. So just use that as inspiration, or use those actual sentences in your story, then send that story into me. You can find a, you guessed it, link to my email on the website. But that reminds me, I still haven't told you what the website is. Well, that's easy. It's just the name of the podcast with a .com at the end. That's dimlightanxiety.com. Let's give one final loud round of applause and shout out to the amazing author for the last two episodes, killing it once again with nightmares we won't be able to shake for possibly a while. You can find this author on Reddit under the username Sugarfruit33. If you enjoyed their story and hope to hear more from all these fabulous writers, please be sure to give the podcast a like, 5-star review on Spotify, Google, Anchor, Apple, or whatever platform you use to listen to today's story. Tell your friends. Tell strangers for all I care. People need and deserve to hear super creative and spooky stories that make their way into one's nightmares. Well, I think that about covers it. For at least those pesky details. Now let's find out if forever is what our narrator received, or if it didn't quite last as long as he hoped. We definitely know it wasn't as long as the monster wanted. Enjoy, if you dare. I spent my 19th birthday with a belly full of tequila and some marijuana in my lungs. After stumbling back to my dorm room, I stood at the foot of my bed, ready to collapse onto it. Suddenly, as my body was diving towards comfort, I noticed something in the blur of my vision. I lifted myself up, my arms wobbly. With heavy eyelids, I peeked out my window, which had a clear view of the street. And what I saw was someone that getting crossed couldn't even conjure up. The birthday monster stood under a flickering street light, glaring directly through my window. His bare skin was bright red and clumpy, purple veins running throughout his tail like the one of a rat, was plopped onto the pavement. But his eyes, his gleaming yellow eyes, stayed the same. Suddenly, our gazes met. His sharp pupils dilated, his eyes widening. He stretched a wide smile that revealed his few missing teeth. "Happy birthday," he mouthed slowly. I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. Hopefully, you're able to find a friend just like that. Or maybe not. Until next week, creep it real! This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.